And good morning, and away we go on this Wednesday, October the 30th, 2019, 13, coming up on 14 minutes past the hour. This would be Halloween Eve, and the mark of only 2 days left in the month of October before we go sliding in to the month of November, I guess is what it would be. Now, we've got a lot to talk about here this morning on the morning program, and we've got a great day of programming here on WWGH Radio. When I get off the air this morning at 10 a.m., the Charlie Evers Show will be on 10 a.m. till 12 noon. That's always a great program to listen to. And then A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on from 12:10 until 1 p.m. And later on today, we will have Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond on from 4:10 to 5 p.m. And then we will have the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, which will air 6:10 until 7 p.m. tonight, along with a lot of other great programming here on WWGH Radio. And I do want to encourage people to check out the website, WWGH1071.com. Adam does a great job with that, keeping past programs up there if you miss something in regard to any of the shows on the station. If you miss something, that's the place to go. Now, here's my little morning monologue this morning. See, I've made this mistake before, but this morning I'm going to ask for tips about this. Now, here's how it happened. On Monday, it was Monday night, I went to the grocery store, and they had, I believe it was ground beef. Ground beef was on sale for something very cheap, like $1.99 a pound, and it was good ground beef. So I bought it. Now, I didn't cook it Monday night because it was kind of late in the night, and I thought, well, I don't really need this Monday night, but I'll save it. But you don't want to save it very long. We've had this conversation before. You don't want to save meat a long time because that can be kind of bad. So what I did was I put it in the refrigerator because I knew I was going to eat it in the next couple days. So I went to work yesterday, and when I got home last night, a little after 5 o'clock, I thought, well, I'm just going to have this hamburger because it sounds good, and I didn't have any other plans for dinner last night, and everything will go hunky-dory. So I cooked it up, and I had the hamburger last night for dinner. Now, here became the problem. And I don't take any medications in regard to acid reflux or stomach issues or anything like that. I don't have those problems, luckily. But maybe I do, I guess, is the moral of this story. So I ate the hamburger, but I ate it kind of late in the evening. It was, by the time I ate it, it was probably after 7, 8 o'clock last night. So I go to bed feeling fine. And actually, I went to bed a little early last night because there was a program on George Washington on, which I wish everybody could have watched. It was like a 2.5-hour program on our first president, and you really learned a lot about the guy that I didn't know. It was an interview with an historian who knew a lot about Washington. But they did it from his house, which his house is an interesting place. You know, his house kind of reminded me of the White House. And of course, we all know that George Washington did not live in the White House. So it looked like what could have been an early model for the White House. But they did this interview talking about George Washington from the White House. And it was, or his house, excuse me. And it was kind of, what would you say? It was kind of, well, it was just informative. Because if you go back to the early people who were involved in the Constitution and the people who were involved as early presidents of the United States, everything has to, in the Revolutionary War, it kind of all starts and stops with George Washington. And you learn a lot about this guy. I learned how he died last night. I never knew that was why he died. I now know the reason George Washington died. And apparently he liked to ride horses. And he was out riding his horse one day, and I guess what would have been a very cold Virginia winter after he had left the White House. I think he was only out of the White House 2 years, not the White House. See, we have a tendency to say White House. I guess we would say office, because back then there was no White House. But he was only out of office 2 years when he died. And he was out riding his horse, and he got sick. When he got back home, he just was not feeling very well, and he took to his bed, and I believe he was only 57 years old. It was either 57 or 59 years old. I believe it was 57, because I think he was only, he stayed president for 8 years, and then he lived 2 years after, and I think he became president when he was 47. So I think he died when he was 57. But, in any event, he was sick after riding his horse. Now, he probably had pneumonia or something like that, but nobody said that. So he took to his bed, and he was a very popular figure of the time. I mean, he was a big-time celebrity of that day. So doctors were really trying to save him. And I guess in that day, a popular method to treat people who were very ill was to drain their blood and, I guess, recycle it is how they did that. But they did that 3 times with him while he was ill, but it didn't work. And then he ended up dying. But I never knew that that's how George Washington died. I thought, well, maybe it was just old age, because in those days, 57 probably, well, it certainly was an older age. I thought maybe a heart attack. I thought maybe he caught one of the diseases of the day, which maybe he did, but I never knew that it was because he was out riding his horse and he got ill while he was out riding his horse, probably weather-related, I would imagine, because it was December. I do know that. He died in December of 1799, right before the big 1800 date, I think just a few days before it, because I think he died around December 14th or something like that. But that's what happened. He was fine, he went out, got sick, and that was that. I also did not realize he was such a big man, because in those days, if you look at furniture of those days, things were a lot smaller. And George Washington was 6'3". He was 6'3" in those days. And that was a bigger guy, much bigger guy. We talk about the tallest president. Well, I think Abraham Lincoln is probably the only person who beat George Washington. And you think about that, back in those days, people were shorter and people were just smaller in general than they are now. But somebody who's 6'3", 6'6", like Washington and, or maybe Lincoln was 6'4", I don't know. But 6'3" and above, people back in those days, the 1700s and the 1800s, would have been gigantic people. Now today they're just considered tall, but back then they would have been abnormally tall. So those are the presidents who were tall. I don't know if there's ever been any other presidents over 6 foot. I guess there have been. I think Donald Trump is over 6 foot. Bill Clinton was probably over 6 foot. I think George Bush Sr. was over 6 foot. So there's that. But saying all this to make the point that the show on George Washington was just absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So, where was I starting with this story? I went to bed a little early last night, had this hamburger. So I woke up this morning, about a half hour before the alarm, and boy, did my stomach not feel good. Now, it wasn't like an upset stomach. I didn't have that feeling. I just kind of had like the uneasy feeling in the stomach. And I thought, oh boy, I hope I'm not coming down with something. I hope this isn't a horrible thing. But as it turns out, I don't think it was a horrible thing, because I feel much better now that I got upright. And I did have a little cottage cheese this morning for breakfast, and I think that helped a little bit. So I feel pretty good right now, as far as I know. But the question I want to ask on this, do you have any remedies or ideas as to what this might be? Could this just be an acid reflux problem, an indigestion problem, that meat does not digest as quickly as other foods do? Because I've eaten other foods late at night and don't seem to have this problem. Does anybody else have this problem where they can't eat a certain food after a certain time at night? And if you do have this problem, what do you do outside of medication? Is there something, some way to combat this? Because I've heard some people just eating another kind of food with it that kind of dulls the problem of waking up in the morning and not feeling very well. So give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you think this all has to do with grease? Is it related back to grease? I really wonder. Because obviously meat is much greasier than vegetables. And I don't think if... But you know, a lot of people can't eat vegetables late at night because that causes a whole problem. So I don't know. The human chemistry of the body, I guess, is very strange. And you just have to go with what's best for you. So, there you go. Now, if you do have a tip or you do have a story or you have a presidential fact, because that's what the whole point of telling that whole George Washington story was. Have you ever heard an interesting fact about a president that you would like to share with us this morning? Because I learned so much from that Washington program, and I like the history of the presidents and have always tried to study up, but I learned so much last night, and I think we're constantly learning because of the internet and the television and the radio. Is there something you've heard recently that you think is very interesting about a president or something of that nature? So give us a ring, 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. Now, the other story I wanted to tell this morning, you know what, I'm going to hold off on the second story. Remind me to tell you the second story at 9:15, because we're already about 15 minutes into the show today, and I want to get to some other stuff, but I'll tell the other story at the start of the second hour, because it's a little bit of a drawn-out story, and I want to tell it right. So, we'll hold off on that for now. Now, here's where I wanted to start this morning, aside from the story I just told. We've been doing breakfast trivia and having a lot of fun with it, to be perfectly honest. And we've had two questions that we have not gotten answered that have kind of become long-term questions. And then yesterday we added a few questions that we do not have answers for. So let me run these down real quick again before we get into this. Here are the long-term questions. We've had a lot of guesses at these, but we do not have the answer yet. Dunkin' Donuts sells how many cups of coffee every second? Now, if you come within 5 of this, I will give you the answer. But the question is, how many cups of coffee does Dunkin' Donuts sell every second? That's the question. Question number 2. Now, this we had a lot of guesses on yesterday. How many types of donuts does Dunkin' Donuts sell in the United States? How many types of donuts does Dunkin' Donuts sell in the United States? We had a lot of guesses on that one yesterday, too. Now, I would guess they put out between 20 and 30 kinds every morning. And that's just for space purposes, I would imagine. But how many types of donuts do they claim that are available in the United States? And if you get within 5 of that, I'll give you that answer. Now, the other breakfast trivia that we had yesterday had to do with slogans for breakfast foods. Now, this was much harder yesterday. We had some of these slogans on Monday, I believe it was Monday morning, and people got these right off. But yesterday, we did not do so well with the slogans. So, here are the slogans for breakfast foods. And if you know the breakfast food that I'm talking about, give me a call. 740-383-9944. The first one is full of surprises. Full of surprises. That is the slogan. Does anybody know what the breakfast food is? A bowl a day keeps the bullies away. A bowl a day keeps the bullies away. Does anybody know what that breakfast food is? The simpler, the better. The simpler, the better. What is that breakfast food? So those are the questions. We have some tickets to the Columbus Zoo. We still have some tickets to the Sleepy Hollow Tecumseh. The Columbus Zoo tickets are good through the first of the year, and the Sleepy Hollow passes are good through tomorrow, Halloween. So the questions are, give me the breakfast food that these are the slogans for. The simpler, the better. A bowl a day keeps the bullies away. Full of surprises. Does anybody know what those breakfast foods are? Or does anybody know how many types of Dunkin' Donuts that Dunkin' Donuts sells in the United States? Or how many cups of coffee Dunkin' Donuts sells every second? And if you get within five of either one of those questions, we'll give you the answer. 740-383-9944, 29 minutes past the hour, coming up on 30 minutes past the hour. And we had a question yesterday. I almost forgot this. And this is one of those questions I have told people you cannot Google. I will know if you Google this question, because yesterday we did not get an answer to this. Because I believe people did not Google it. And I hope nobody Googled it last night. And I hope nobody has Googled it this morning. But I will tell this story very quickly again as to where this question came from. Monday night, I was in the grocery store, as I said earlier. And I was in the cereal aisle. Oh, maybe we have an answer here. So we'll come back to this in just a second. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I have a trivia statement on the president.
Oh, go ahead.
John Tyler, who was, I'm not sure if he died before the Civil War, but he was president before the Civil War, had two grandchildren, still living at least until 2110.
Really?
Or 2010, sorry.
So he had two children.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren, and he was president during the Civil War, before the Civil War.
Right.
And he had children, grandchildren, who were still living until 2010. Now, how would that be possible?
Well, he had the children very late in life, and then those children, or child, had children very late in life also, and evidently he had very good genes in his family line.
Apparently. Yep. You know, and John Tyler is not a president that we hear a whole lot about.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm.
Bye-bye. Now, see, I like a call like that because I love presidential trivia. And I think we all learn together on that. And I know a lot of people have President Harding trivia that I have not, that we have not covered in quite a while. But, that's interesting. John Tyler, who was president around the Civil War era, which would have been the mid-1800s, still had grandchildren alive in 2010. That would have been nearly 150 years later. You know, when you do the math on that stuff, it's interesting. Because I do the math on that now with grandmothers. Because a lot of times I'll know the age of somebody, and they'll come up to me and say they have like five grandchildren. And I'll think, how is it possible that you have five grandchildren? Because I guess you never know how old somebody is when they have a child, and then you don't know how old their child is when they have a child. But, you know, you can cut that rather close now. Because if you think about it, if you have a child, let's say you're right out of high school, and you have a child when you're 18 or 19, and then you have a child, or your child has a child at the same age, 18 or 19, let's say 18, for the sake of this argument, you could be a grandmother at 36 years old. Think about that. If you had your first child when you were 18, And then your child, your oldest child, had their first child at the age of 18. You could be a grandmother at 36 years old, only 36 years older than your grandparent, which seems so strange to me, because it would seem to me that your grandparents, I always think of grandparents as being older people, but I would certainly not think of a 36-year-old person as an older person. So that's fascinating to me. Does anybody else do that with ages? That's the one that really creeps up on me, is when somebody says they are a grandmother or a grandfather and they're in their 30s. I think, how in the world did that happen? Now, I do think that people are waiting longer these days to have children, so maybe that will change, but I also think people are probably having children earlier than they ever did now. I don't know. I do know that if you, many years ago, probably 40 years ago now, but if you had a child that young, or even in those days, if you had a child out of wedlock, which we certainly have gotten over that one, which is, and I think, you know, that's right. I mean, I don't think that you need to be married to have a child. That, I know a lot of people feel differently, but I'm just not into judging people at this point. I think that, what was the point I was making there? I got off on the sidebar. That people are having, if you used to do that, if you had a child out of wedlock, or you had a child very young, you used to have to go to the next state or the next city or something like that. You wouldn't talk about it. A lot of times, your parents would tell you to go to another state, and you had to stay gone for a while until the child was born, and then you could come back, and it's a mess. And maybe that's why I'm okay with it now, because I don't think that's the right way to go. Sending somebody away or forcing them into a marriage that might not work. Who wants to do that? Anyway, presidential trivia, which I like, which we got one there this morning, and also talking about what are cures for what is probably acid reflux, or is there anything anybody does besides don't eat late to avoid getting acid reflux at night? Because I don't take a pill for this, and it only happens when I eat certain things, and one of those certain things apparently is meat, but not all meat. There are certain meats that wouldn't bother me at all. So it's kind of interesting, I think. Talking about all kinds of things here on the morning show this morning. 740-383-9944. Now, the trivia question that I don't want you to Google. We're going to come back to this. Now, here is how this all came about. I want to tell you the story. I said it yesterday, but here's why I don't want you to Google this. And here's how it actually came to me. I was in the grocery store on Monday night, and I was in the cereal aisle. Even though I don't buy cereal, I was in the cereal aisle because we've done a lot of cereal trivia here on the show, breakfast trivia. And I was just checking out a few things to see if they are on the box and slogans and so on and so forth. So I'm in the cereal aisle, and I end up striking up a conversation with a guy in the cereal aisle. And we're talking about cereals and how long they've been out and what he remembered from his childhood and, you know, that type of conversation. And then we look at the box of cornflakes, Kellogg's cornflakes. And he says, "Do you know why cornflakes were invented?" And I said, "No, I don't know why cornflakes were invented." And he told me this reasoning, which I, honest to goodness, thought he was telling a joke. I mean, I thought it was a complete lie because it sounded so outlandish. I said, "That can't be why cornflakes was invented." So, of course, like we all do now, we pull out our phones or we get to our internet or our computers, and I do the research on this to see why cornflakes were invented. And lo and behold, he was telling the truth. And I had never heard this. It's the most bizarre thing in the world, because it really makes no sense as to why this is the reason that cornflakes would be invented. And we'll talk about it once we get the answer, but I don't want you to Google it. And I will know if you Google it, because if you're too specific about it, because we know yesterday nobody knew the answer, because we did not get the answer. And we had the question out there for about 90 minutes yesterday. So, and we had some wrong answers for the question, which is perfectly fine because it's a very complicated question. But I do not want you to Google that question. I want you to come to that question on your own. So if you Googled it last night or you have Googled it, I don't want the answer that way. I want you just to know. I want us to come to this question by guessing, because it is the strangest thing that I have ever heard. And I don't understand what was going on that would have caused this. And maybe once we get the answer to this, we'll be able to get into that. But the question is, we don't want you using Google for, why was cornflakes invented? Does anybody know? Who would have thought that cornflakes would have had such an interesting start in life? So that's one of our questions. Why was cornflakes invented? Simple question, weird answer. Why was cornflakes invented? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And when you answer it, if you do know the answer, we are on the radio here, so be discreet in how you will answer that question. Don't use anything that's marginal. I guess I'll put it that way. But why was cornflakes invented? That's the question. 740-383-9944. And then our other questions. How many cups of coffee does Dunkin' Donuts sell every second? We don't have that one yet. How many types of Dunkin' Donuts are sold in the United States? How many different types? How many different types of donuts are sold in the United States by Dunkin' Donuts? What breakfast food have these slogans? The first slogan is full of surprises. Does anybody know what breakfast food that is? A bowl a day keeps the bullies away. Does anybody know what breakfast food that is? The simpler, the better. Does anybody know what that breakfast food is? Give us some guesses here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, yesterday we spent a lot of time talking about donuts. And as a matter of fact, I got a message this morning through Facebook, somebody asking me exactly where the new Dunkin' Donuts is going to be. Because I think we've confused people on this because we've been talking about it so much. Now, it's my understanding, and I don't know this for sure, but we've had a lot of people call in to say this, that when Dunkin' Donuts does come to Marion, and apparently it is a done deal, because we did get a report yesterday that the person who owns that property has already said that it's sold, this is where it's coming. Now, the Dunkin' Donuts will be on Mount Vernon Avenue on the spot where the beauty shop is now. The beauty shop is closed at this point, but it was a beauty shop, and it's between Jiffy Lube and that little, I guess you would call, shopping center there that has the Carlisle restaurant in it. It has, I believe it's a Family Dollar there. That little string of stores, and then there's a street, and then there's the hair salon place, and then there is Jiffy Lube. So between Jiffy Lube and the little shopping mall there, that's where Dunkin' Donuts will be on that property, and we imagine they will tear down that salon and build whatever they want to build. And it's interesting because I talked to somebody last week who knows people in the city pretty well, and I guess the way they had to get permission for the road cut to not have a mess there is that you'll be able to enter Dunkin' Donuts, whether you're coming from the east or the west on Mount Vernon Avenue, you'll be able to enter from either way. but you'll only be able to exit going west. That'll be the way the road is cut. So I guess if you want to go east after you enter Dunkin' Donuts, I don't know how they'll do that. I was trying to think of this the other day. Because if they build the Dunkin' Donuts facing Mount Vernon Avenue, which is probably how you think they would do it, because that would show you the sign and the store and everything, there's not going to be a whole lot of parking in front of it. And I don't know how they would build a road cut where you could enter from the east and the west, but you could only exit going west. I don't know how they would even do that. Because I'll tell you what's going to happen. Because we've got these little turnstiles. Because if they're thinking about putting a turnstile road cut in there, here's what's going to happen. First of all, you're going to have people going out the road cut turnstile that's only supposed to go west, and they're just going to do a U-turn and go east if they want to go east. And then there's going to be some people who don't even want to get in the turnstile, so they're just going to go out the entrance, and that's going to go east. And I think that's what probably will happen. Now, then I thought, well, if they build it facing the Carlisle restaurant and didn't build it facing Mount Vernon Avenue, then they could probably get more parking in, and on that little side street there, they wouldn't have to worry about people exiting east or west because they would not be exiting to Mount Vernon Avenue. They'd be exiting to that little side street there between the hair salon and the Carlisle restaurant. Now, does anybody know what the name of that little street is there? Or where that little street even goes? I was trying to remember the other day how wide that street is. Is it a one-way street? I don't know if it's a two-lane or not. Does anybody know what little street I'm talking about here? That, you know, you have the Carlisle restaurant, then you have this little street, and then you have the hair, what used to be the hair salon, and then you have Jiffy Lube. Does anybody know what that little street is, or how do you think they're going to play in this whole Dunkin' Donuts thing? Because it's an interesting place to build it. I don't know how the idea came to build it there, but we're all happy that it's going to be in the city, and we're all happy that it's coming to town. A new business coming to town is always great. That's always a positive. But what's your feeling on this whole situation? Do you think they can quell traffic to go in a certain direction there? I don't know if they can or not. Give me a ring, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Also, does anybody have any memories of going to the old Dunkin' Donuts that used to be located just about right in that area? It was where the cash advance place is. The building's still there because it's being used for the cash advance place on the corner of Richland Road and Mount Vernon Avenue. That used to be Dunkin' Donuts. Now, there wasn't much parking there either, and it didn't have a drive-through. Back then, Dunkin' Donuts didn't have a drive-through, and if I remember right, well, I think the entrance is still as it is. You could go either way, in or out. Now, I don't remember that causing a lot of chaos in those days, but maybe it did. Who knows? If you have any thoughts, give me a ring. 740-383-9944. All right. Does anybody know what cereal these are the slogans for? These are the slogans. You have to tell me the cereal. Full of surprises. A bowl a day keeps the bullies away. The simpler, the better. Does anybody know what those are? Full of surprises. A bowl a day keeps the bullies away. And the simpler, the better. And we also have our Dunkin' Donuts questions. How many cups of Dunkin' Donuts are sold every second? How many types of Dunkin' Donuts are available in the United States? And if you come within 5, we'll give you that answer. 740-383-9944. And then the question I don't want you to Google. Why was cornflakes invented? Does anybody know the answer to that one without Googling? Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I don't know which subject to do first, but
all right, let's hit them all here.
Okay, you woke me up again.
Oh, did I?
I was pounding my head against the headboard. I was listening to you and Charlie talking. It was the that show you do on Friday.
Oh, okay.
And you were talking about east and west and north and south and east and west. And
I remember that conversation.
You guys need to go to both city planning and regional are public. So you need to send somebody to go to regional, and then you get all the info.
We might have to, because I don't think Charlie or I had a good sense of direction when it came to that conversation.
Well, and then you were saying we... that's your north-south, and west and east, you know, on your thing where it says north-south, your compass?
Compass, yeah.
Well, that's how you would remember it, but it's all in relationship to which way is north and which way is south as well.
Yeah. Right, but my contention on that, because we had somebody call in who said that was not true, but my contention on that is if I was standing in the middle of Mount Vernon Avenue and I am facing... north.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be we. West mm-hmm. would be the boulevard, and east would be Meyer. But if I turned around in that exact same spot and now was facing, let's say, the car lot, McDaniel Automotive, the compass would read, if I'm facing south, the compass would read that west is Meyer and east is, downtown.
Well, you always go for your north. You always... Isn't that the way it is with a compass?
But wouldn't north then become south? Because it's the south end of...
No.
Well, I just thought... Would your compass turn totally upside down? I don't know. I think...
Now you see why I was hitting my head against the head.
Oh, I do. It's a very complicated subject. Because I think it's your north is... Isn't it all relative? Like, we call it the west end of town, the east end of town, the north end of town, the south end of town, but that's all relative to this town.
No! North is north and south is south, and that's why we have a compass, and you figure out where north is, and then you go from there. Am I going to have to buy you a compass?
Well, here's why I'm confused. Because, okay, the south end of Marion... would have the mall and mm-hmm. All those places. Mm-hmm. You know, Kroger South. Okay. Now, but if I get on Route 23, which is on the east end of town, mm-hmm. as soon as I get on Route 23 going toward Columbus, I'm going south.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same direction as going toward the south end of Marion.
Yes, it is.
Is it? I don't know.
Because if you're going on Marion Waldo Road, you're going south. You run parallel with 23.
But then east and west are relative to north and south, aren't they?
Right.
Right. So east and west always do spell we, but north and south don't change. I think that's how it is.
Now you've got me confused.
No, because if you think, it's like your right arm. You know, if your right arm, okay, if you tell somebody to go take a right, that's all relative as opposed to where you're standing.
Well, now that's more true, right? I don't care where you're standing, your right arm's here and your left arm's here. But as far as directions go, directions stay constant. That's why when you have your compass, you always point north and then everything is according to where north is. You're talking more like left and right.
But didn't there used to be a teaching that said that you could always find your west and your east because it would always spell we?
As long as you're pointing north.
But how do you know if you're pointing north?
You buy a compass.
But who has those? I don't know.
All of us except you, Scott.
Apparently. I don't know.
And by the way, that's Clover Avenue that you're talking about.
Don't you think that would be much better if they had people exiting onto Clover instead of going out onto 95?
Well, I suspect that's how it is. I haven't seen the plan. I don't know if that came up before regional last Wednesday or not. I didn't make it, but we haven't had cities so this month, and so I'm not sure.
Now, has regional planning been talking about this Dunkin' Donuts?
Not the meetings I attended.
Well, because when I talked to the gentleman who was pretty in the know last week, I think I talked to him last Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. I mean, no, it was Friday. He was in on Friday, right before that show we did.
Bob Morris?
No, it was actually Charlie Campbell was in here.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was telling me that the cut is going to come in a way that you'll be able to enter Dunkin' Donuts from the east or the west,
mm-hmm.
but you'll only be able to exit going west with the...
That all makes good sense.
It does make good sense, but mm-hmm. Like I said before, I know how people drive on that road, and I know that'll last about 10 minutes.
Isn't that... I was thinking, no, that's not really similar to what they have down there in front of... where you go in front of Walmart there at that restaurant, Applebee's. Don't they have a road you can go in but you can't go out?
Yeah, there's a little turn, and there's also there's also one of those turnstiles over by the El Campesino there. Not a lot of people use that road, I don't think.
Are you talking about in front of Lowe's? No.
Well, it's Dominion Homes or Clayton.
Okay, yeah.
Right there, there's a little road there that people don't really use.
You can't do anything about what people are going to do. They're breaking the law when they do that. There's nothing you can do about it, but this would keep traffic flowing as best you can on a situation where we have a stretch of road that was created without any streets or any way to get in and out, you know, like maybe they do in the bigger cities.
But don't we have basically that same issue just right across the street at Wendy's?
Oh, boy, yeah.
And nobody, I mean, they just rebuilt that, and nobody came in and said, well, you can only enter east.
Well, I think they thought they'd been doing it that way for, you know, a long time, so...
But now, in the honest of this, don't you believe that people are going to go either way? If you have to go, Mount Vernon Avenue is such a busy street
mm-hmm.
that if you stop in and get yourself a donut and a cup of coffee and you have to continue to go east, do you really think somebody's going to exit that place west and go down to, what it's going to create is a bottleneck because...
They're going to, if you're coming out on Clover, I think that's basically what you're saying, and you want to go east, you're going to cut over, okay, this is a mind of myself, you're going to cut over into Carlisle's and then maybe even go as far as the Family Dollar and then creep into that last little street there and then you'll head out that direction.
Well, and I think that this is what I'm worried about because I think that little Clover Street, which is hardly used for anything at this point, is going to become a bottleneck because I think when they exit Dunkin' Donuts, if there's no way to exit onto Clover, if it's only exiting back onto Mount Vernon Avenue,
mm-hmm.
then if you want to go east, but they're going to force you to go west, well, the first place you can turn into, which is going to be the Carlisle, just a few steps away,
mm-hmm.
you're going to turn in there, and either you're going to hang a U-ey in the Carlisle parking lot to get out, or you're going to pull onto Clover to get out.
Well, because I'm not exactly sure, how they come upon that. They make the decision as to the best way they feel will work, you know, and then we vote on it.
And then we do. But, apparently this went by because I think Dunkin' Donuts is coming, and I don't think they would have come if they didn't have this already in place. But I was looking at that lot the other day. You know, that's not a big lot.
Well, I know, but they always parking is relative to how many people they think they will have at any given time on a normal basis. We're not talking about opening day, opening week. We're talking about just a normal day, how many people would be coming in and parking, and that's how they do the parking situation, and you have to have so many parking spots for a particular size building.
Well, and that's another thing, because I assume they're going to have a drive-through. Most everybody does.
That's another thing. Drive-through.
Drive-through.
Charlie should have called it a drive-up window.
Drive-up.
Well, there's a difference between a drive-through and a drive-up window.
Oh, at the Lee Gardens.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I didn't understand that because I've been to that Lee Gardens, and it's part of the building there, the Mallard Square.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand how there can be a drive-through there.
Well, there can't be a drive-through, but there can certainly be a drive-up window, and there are many drive-up windows. But why they call those drive-through, I don't know. I don't know how they ever got that name, because technically it's a drive-up window. You drive up to it, and then you proceed on wherever you're going. You don't drive through anything.
Right, because there's not a place back there by the Restore where you can phone in an order.
No. There's nothing like that. It's just very simple. And well, even Wendy's is a drive-up window if you want to come right down to it.
Well, how do you get their attention at the Lee Garden if there's no speaker?
There's no speaker?
No, see, I don't know. I've never been through that drive-thru.
Oh, well, I think there'd have to be a speaker, and maybe there's a little thing across the road that rings a bell when you go up to it. Didn't Charlie say something about honking, or somebody said something about honking?
Well, there may be. I mean, but, you know, see, if I was one of those other businesses over there in that area, like the Convention and Visitors Bureau, hearing people honk all day, I think would become very tired. And did you, you know, because I was listening to that show as I drove in this morning. Now, did
you pound in your head again?
Okay. You know, when you hear it in retrospect, it's interesting. Now, did you hear Jeff Ruth call into that show?
Yes.
And he did not know for sure. He says, in the beginning, I said, Jeff, does Lee Gardens have a drive-through window? And he goes, oh, no, I don't know. And then Charlie says, oh, yes, they do. And he hears this. He goes, well, if Charlie said it, it must be true. Now what kind of guy is Jeff Ruth to be doing that? Calling in and disagreeing with me.
I don't know, but, you know, I hadn't heard that originally. I hadn't heard it originally, so it just made me laugh this morning, and I thought...
Well, I'm glad you called, because I heard the same show coming in this morning.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're going to break. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere.
You are. You're trying to get me in trouble. you're baiting me.
No. We can move around that question. You have that nice to me. And